tonight is taken from the first chapter of Peter, verses 13 through 14 through 23. 1 Peter 14 through 23. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on the Father who judges each man's works impartially, live your lives as strangers, here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in the last time for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply with the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God.
Good evening. I forgot to do something, so just bear with me for a second. I needed to get a scripture up here on my iPad. Thank you, Brother Gordon, for the reading this evening. Thank you, Brother Bob, for your prayer. Told my class this morning downstairs, we are studying about the I Ams in John, and I said to them, and we're in John chapter 15, 1 through 11, where Jesus says, I am the vine, and the Father, or God, is the vine dresser. And as young Christians and in growing up, pray that God will use you in the kingdom. And earnestly pray for that. Earnestly pray for strength, for guidance, and for encouragement through his word. Use the abilities. When as you grow and as you mature, you're going to find what abilities that you have to use for his purpose in the kingdom. Use them to the best of your ability and ask him to bless you as you do. Don't be afraid to ask him for help. Don't be afraid to ask anyone else for help, because that's what we're here for, to encourage each other, to strengthen each other, and to build each other up in the most precious faith of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's been a while since I've actually got up and preached, if you want to use that term. I don't like that term myself because I don't consider myself being a preacher, but I prefer saying teaching a lesson. And that's what I'm going to do this evening, hopefully. And my lesson is a textual lesson, as you will see. I'm going to be using a good many scriptures. Gordon read one for me this evening, and that's basically the last scripture that I'll be using. My lesson I called Denying the World, Satan's Entertainment. The Apostle Paul's faithful life was focused upon one thing: the gospel truth of the inner man. That's what he focused upon. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for us. That's what we are to live by. That's our code of conduct according to the scripture. That we are to deny ourselves and live for our Christ. And Paul expressed in Romans 7, I didn't use this in my lesson, just how difficult that is. as a child of God, because it's a constant war. It's a constant struggle. There are constantly stumbling blocks put before us by Satan every day that we have to overcome. Question: are we convinced and are we committed to that as Paul was? We have died to self. We are no longer living for self, but we're living for Christ. It's not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Are we convinced of that? Are we committed to that? We are told to examine and to prove ourselves regularly, on a regular basis. That's not just one time. We are to do that all the time to see if we are in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Why must we do that? To see where we're at in our lives, in our faith, and in our service to our Christ. Paul also told the Corinthians in chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. He says, "If you then were risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above." Why? Because he doesn't want us setting our minds on the things of this earth, or on the things of earth, or on this world. You have died. You died and your life is hidden. If it isn't, it should be hidden in Christ. And that's a part of our examination of ourselves through the scripture. And if we're not there, we need to get there. Then when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's his promise to us. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And he lists them. And he says, put to death therefore what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming upon the disobedient. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie one to another. That is the way we used to live. And Christ does not want us to go back to that, because we have died to that purposely, mentally and spiritually and physically. We have died to that way of life. And if we haven't completely, then we need to make some changes in our lives. And that's what the lesson is encouraging us to do this evening. Verse 9 goes on to say, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and listen to the next phrase, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created us. When we put on the new man in Christ, we are renewed in that through the scripture, through the knowledge according to Christ, to the image of him, Christ, who created us. Christ created us through his word. We were called by his word. We were drawn to him by the gospel of Christ. James 1:18 says it this way. James 1:18, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. The King James Version uses, he begat us by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We were begat, we were born to be the body of Christ, to be the sons of God, the children of God. And if we haven't become what the recipe has called us to be, it's not the recipe's fault. Because we are begat, we are born by the teaching and the commandments of his word, to be his creatures in his likeness, and partakers of the fruit of his kingdom. That's what he desires us to become and be examples of. Paul concluded his epistle in Galatians 6:14 by saying, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Think about that for a second. Think about what he's saying in that statement. God forbid if I boast in anything except the cross of Jesus. That's how our life should be motivated, to the extent that that is what our lives are expressing continually. And I'm not one to stand up here and say that I'm there yet, because I'm not. But we need to keep moving forward in our faith and our growth to the calling of the high call of God in Christ Jesus for that prize, as Paul said. Because that's the only thing that is going to make a difference and even matter to us when this life is over. The truth of the gospel that Paul wrote on his heart was outwardly lived through his daily experiences of denying his flesh the temporary pleasures and treasures of this world's sin. And it should be for all of us. And Moses did the same thing. Hebrews 11:26 and 27. Turn to Hebrews 11. Paul denied his flesh. And he denied his flesh the pleasures of this life. Moses, in Hebrews 11:26, 27, says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. He esteemed the reproach of Christ better than the riches and treasures of Egypt. For he looked to the reward. And isn't that what Paul said he did? Look towards the reward. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. Look to the reward. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's how Moses endured, by seeing him who is invisible. And brothers and sisters, we must see him who is invisible through his word and exercise our minds in that, so that we come to that knowledge and perfection in Christ. Today, as Christians, our greatest challenge is to love Christ and his cross, that we daily deny ourselves of the worldly lust and pride, as the Apostle Paul did. Luke 9:23 and 24 says, then he said to them, Jesus speaking, if anyone, man or woman, desires to come to me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. How often? Daily. We are to deny ourselves and we are to take up his cross daily and follow him. For whosoever desires to save his life is going to lose it. But whosoever loses his life for his sake, for the church's sake, will save it. That's his promise to us. And that's what we have to work towards constantly. For Satan never gives up. For he had a way of escape, Paul did, as we do. In 1 Corinthians 10:23, it says, therefore let him who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall. If any of us think that we can stand without Christ, if any of us think that we can dabble in the world and Satan's entertainments and still stand for Christ, you better take heed because we're going to fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Just as Paul did, just as Moses did, and just as all those of the great faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11 did. That's how they won their battles, through the word and their faith. And what that verse is telling us is that we have to constantly reinforce our faith by being in his word, for it is our armor and fight against Satan, Ephesians 6, 13 and 18. The flesh presents a constant temptation to enjoy the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It constantly, and that's what Paul speaks about in Romans chapter 7. It's a constant war. It's a constant struggle. In 1 John 2:15, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of the Father, the will of God, abides forever." That's our promise. Those who live by the faith that they have seen or been crucified with Christ must count themselves dead to the numerous worldly attractions of the flesh. That's Romans 6:11. In other words, all of Satan's worldly entertainment is to captivate us to the point that we are not doing what we need to be doing spiritually and according to our faith, according to Scripture. He will try everything he can to manipulate us, to put stumbling blocks in front of us spiritually, to win the battle that he wants to win. And that's to lead us away from Christ. That's to cause us to lose our soul. Our VBS song that we sung this year said, "I run for the crown, I race for the prize, I press for the upward call of God. I fight with all my might to keep on winning for the Christ, for I know that there's a glorious end in sight. I know that there's a glorious end in sight." I forgot the rest of it. And the reason why we do that, we sing that song, is so that we strive until the end, until we're there. We must fight constantly. And brothers and sisters, that's our recipe for eternal life, that we never give up. We run for the crown, we press, race for the prize, and we press towards the upward call of God constantly. Christ spoke of the world hating him in John 15:24. The same world that nailed Jesus to the cross nailed Paul to that same cross with him. As Christians, we must view the world as we must view the world of sin as our mortal enemy, because it is. It's our mortal enemy, and it will keep us from entering eternity to be with our Lord. Because the friendship with this world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore makes himself a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. James 4:4. We either make the world our friend or we consider it our most deadly enemy. That hates us and will nail us to the cross with Jesus. Satan himself is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Is it any wonder that our God takes offense toward anyone who makes friends with the world or makes friends with Satan, who is the god of this world? He's offended by that. While many Christians admit we are not to indulge in the sins the world welcomes, these same Christians also believe we can be friendly with the world and enjoy as much as it as we can without committing any big sins. How big of a lie is that? There are no big sins. There are no little sins. Sin is sin. And we're not to be a part of it. In this deception of sin, many Christians laugh with worldly comedians and strive to enjoy as much worldly entertainment as possible. Each of us need to give serious thought as to how much of the world has invaded our lives. Because we are the body, the church of the risen Christ. That's who we represent. And that is who we better be when that day comes. How much have we allowed the steady diet of Hollywood entertainment to influence our thinking? Shirley and I have been cutting back on watching TV programs because there ain't a whole lot on TV that's not even fit to watch. And we have come to be, over the years, we have come to when something no longer bothers us. We've seen movies growing up with bad language in it. We've kind of grown accustomed to watching that where it doesn't bother us anymore, but it should bother us. And now everything else that's being put on TV, homosexuality, transgenders, abortion, it's their agenda that they push on us all the time. And we don't need to be tuned into that. We need to tune that out and watch something else and look at the scripture. Has our craving for movies, video games, computers, the newest phone, mass media, dulled our spiritual senses so that we spend more and more time with Hollywood, as in Hollywood, and less time in His holy word? Does it captivate us to the point that we're in this, on these, more than we're in His word? Think about it. We must live before God, our Father, according to His word. And the text that Gordon read for us in the reading, you used the NIV, correct? I'm going to use the ESV for that text. I'm going to look at it again. And I used the ESV. I've read it in the ESV. I didn't read it in the NIV, by the way, but I read it in the King James Version. And I just like the way the ESV says some things. And first thing it says in the first verse, therefore, preparing your minds for action. Therefore, in other words, everything that was said previous to therefore, prepare or preparing your minds for action. Our faith gives birth to action. And rightly so, because that's what our faith will do. It will move us to do the will of the Father. And being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your formal ignorance. The formal way, the passions that drew us to the world. Do not be conformed to them anymore. Remove them from your life. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if God, and if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from your futile ways inherited by your forefathers. And that word futile means incapable of producing any useful result. It's pointless. Not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable. How do we do that? Through the living and abiding word of God. That's how we accomplish it. That is our roadmap. That is our pattern that we must use every day of our lives, his word, to strengthen us, to encourage us. In the parable of the sower, and that's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and in Luke, I like what he says pertaining to this. And this is Luke 8:14. Listen to what he says. May God save us from becoming the thorny soil in which the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, or you might say of Satan's entertainments, choke the word that it becomes unfruitful in us. May God save us from becoming the thorny soil in which the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word so that it becomes unfruitful. And that's what we have to guard against. That's what the world would do for us. That's what Satan is aiming to accomplish. James in James 4, 8 through 10 exhorted the Jewish Christians to whom he wrote. He said, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift us up. Will you join me in confessing that too much of the world and too little of God's word has had a deadly spiritual influence upon the world and upon the church as a whole, to use us in the service of our King? And the church is going to continue to struggle with that because of Satan's power, because he is the God of this earth. and we have to be on guard all the time. And I encourage you to think about this week. I've seen a lot of you taking notes, writing scriptures down. Go over them, rehearse them. And that's what it's there for. It's there to strengthen us, to encourage us, that we might be the light of the world that Christ expects us to be, and to be the salt of the earth that we need to be. May God help us in the fight that Satan, that we're in battle with Satan constantly. If you are here tonight and not a Christian, if you desire to be a child of God, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart right now. You've heard the gospel preached. It's up to you to believe it. It's up to you to confess Jesus before men, to repent of your sins, to change your life, to no longer be conformed by the world, and to be a friend of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the scriptures to be a child of God. Being baptized into Christ, putting on Christ for the remission of sins, and the promise of eternal life is yours if we live faithful till death. That's our promise. If you're here and need prayers of the church, we ask you come as together we stand and sing.